Now then, if you got a phone call in the middle of the night, what would you be expecting? Bad news? A tragedy? But on that first Christmas, in the middle of the night, came an announcement of good news. To a group of terrified shepherds, the angel announces, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And the next moment the sky ignites with the brightness of 10,000 times thousand of angels. And they're praising God and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So at his birth the angels worship. So who is he? Who is this one who is born at Bethlehem? Do you know? What's the identity of this child, this bringer of good news? Well, listen to how the Bible describes him. The writer to the Hebrews begins his letter like this. Listen carefully because it's a little bit, might sound a little bit wordy, but the words are wonderful. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Now that's a lot in a little, isn't it? So in a little time we've got, let's unwrap the identity, because it's talking about who this child is. Let's unwrap the identity of this baby. He's God's son. And the first thing we're told is that he's the appointed heir of all things. Now this afternoon, will you be watching the Queen's speech? I don't see any heads nodding, but will you be watching the Queen's speech? Well, one day it'll be the King's speech, won't it? On the day Her Majesty dies, Charles, the appointed heir to the throne, will be king. But this child is not heir to the United Kingdom. We're told he's the heir of all things. He's the lawful owner of all. Now today we remember Jesus' first coming. But did you know the Bible says he's coming a second time? History is moving somewhere. It's moving towards a climax. It's the momentous event when the appointed heir will return from heaven in power and glory and flaming fire, says the Bible. At his first coming, he's born into obscurity. But when he comes again, every eye shall see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the appointed heir of all things. Well, number two, we're told this child is the maker of all things. It says, through whom he made the worlds. So not only does he stand at the end of time, he stands at the beginning of time. Now think of it. He who had no beginning begins as a baby in Bethlehem. He who breathed worlds into existence catches his first breath on that cold Bethlehem night. The Son of Mary is the Son of God, through whom the worlds were made. And we're told a third thing. We're told that he's the brightness of the Father's glory. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Now, if you look hard at that baby in the manger, what do you see? A halo? No. For much of his earthly life, Christ's glory was hidden. Mild he lays his glory by. But one day he took his three best friends, Peter, James and John, he took them up onto a mountain. And as they watched, his appearance changed. The Bible says his face shone like the sun. His clothes flashed like lightning. So what was going on? Was Jesus under some sort of heavenly spotlight? No, the change came from within. There was nothing normally in Jesus' appearance to say who he is. But on that mountain, the veil was lifted, and we see who he is. We witness his true identity. He looks like what he is. The King. The Christ. The Savior of the world. Emmanuel. God with us. As Peter was later to say, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He doesn't just reflect the glory of God, he is the brightness of that glory. But the writer here says more, because he says that he is also the express image of his person. So he is the uncreated image of God. So do you want to know what God is like? Have you ever thought about that? What is God like? Lots of ideas, aren't there, about God and what is he like? Well, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. Because all that God is, he is. Do you know God has a face? Because we see the godness of God, says the Bible, in the face of Jesus Christ. So here's something to think about after the turkey dinner. If you're looking for God, you won't find him outside Jesus. If you want to know God, to Jesus you must come, because he is the revealer of God. He is the express image of his person, says the Bible. Which is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to God, except through me. Well, we're told a fifth thing. Who is this child? Says the writer of the Hebrews, he's the upholder of all things by the word of his power. Now, the ancient world used to believe that our planet was carried on the shoulders of a great titan called Atlas. You may have seen pictures of it. And they had this idea that Atlas carried the world on his shoulders. And, of course, the world obviously weighs a great deal, so every movement of Atlas was slow and ponderous. But you know that's not true, don't you? Because the planet is carried, it's upheld, not on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. The world is upheld by the word of Jesus Christ. He speaks worlds into being, and he upholds the world by his word, the word of his power. Extraordinary, isn't it? He only has to speak. He didn't just uphold the world, but he upholds all things, we're told. All things by the word of his power. And all things, therefore, must include you and me. Why is your heart beating? Well, yes, there is a sinal atrial node and cardiac muscle and other things, but those are secondary causes. My heart is beating because Jesus Christ wills it. For no other reason. I've taken another breath. Why? For no other reason than he wills it. At his word I live, at his word I die. He holds my breath in his hands. And number six, as we unwrap these verses, who is he? We're told he saves his people from their sins, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, when he had by himself cleansed our sins. This Jesus washes away sins. I was at a school carol service a couple of years ago, and the vicar asked, why was Jesus born? Why did he come? And the kids put up their hands. Quite a forest of hands went up. And the first child he asked said, yes, yes, why did he come? Why was he born? And the child came back with the answer, to save us from our sins. Now did the vicar snatch up the answer and say, yes, that's a great answer? No. He said, yes, yes, okay, yes, he came to save us from our sins, but why else did he come? He was looking for another answer, wasn't he? But there is no other answer. That kid was right. This is a trustworthy saying, says the Bible, and deserving of acceptance by everyone, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if you fall in the mud, you can take a shower. But when you wrong God, you can't shower yourself clean. If you get a tan, even a fake one, it will fade. But when we break God's commands, the guilt never fades. Isn't that why I have a personal history I have to live with? Isn't that why all of us at some time have felt ashamed? Why did I do it? Why did I say that? If only I had that time again. I carry my sins around with me. Which is why deep down, all of us know that on Judgment Day, I can't prove my innocence. There's a price to pay. And says the Bible, that price, the wages of sin, is death. Now for that phone call in the middle of the night. Expecting the worst, especially if someone's talking to you about Jesus. On the contrary, to a sad and weary world, to a world of sinners, God announces good news. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. That's the good news. That's what God wants us to hear. Today, in Bethlehem, is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Because a Savior is what I need. A Savior to cleanse away my sins. A Savior to wash the dirty clean. To purge away the stain. Wonderful. Do you see? All that I could never do, Jesus does for all who come to him. The Bible says the baby grew up. He went to a cross where the sins of countless people who've offended God, those sins were put to Jesus' account, so that when God came to punish those sins, it was Jesus who took the blame. If the wages of sin is death, God's Son pays the price. He dies the death of the guilty so that the guilty can go free. He sheds his blood so that the sinner can be washed clean. That's wonderful news. Don't expect the worst. Here is good news, that through Jesus Christ, the Savior, I can be forgiven. I can be washed clean. And I need that, don't I? I know I'm dirty. I can be washed clean. I can start again with God. Indeed, if I come to Christ and I fall upon his kind arms, he'll give me a newborn life. Give a newborn baby. Everything's clean and fresh and new, perfect. And God will give me a newborn life. The Bible says I'll be born again. And a new heart that beats for him. Christmas time. How come the Christmas CDs? Have you been playing all the usual tacky Christmas music? Well, amongst all the Christmas hits, this one has been playing. It's Johnny Mathis singing When a Child is Born. Do you know that one? My mother-in-law likes Johnny Mathis. Anyway, When a Child is Born, I won't sing it for you. About two-thirds of the way through the song, Johnny stops singing and he starts to talk. Now, what does he say? He says, and all this happens because the world is waiting. Waiting for one child. Black, white, yellow. No one knows. Wrong, Johnny. The waiting is over. The child has come. Born to a Jewish peasant girl. And his name is Jesus. And that's the good news, isn't it? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour. He's come. The one we need has come. And we may find him today, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So my friend, on this Christmas day, embrace it with both hands. Don't start thinking, me, a Christian, becoming a Christian, oh, not me. Be straight with God. Be honest with him. Lord, I am a sinner. I have messed up. But I understand that Jesus died to save condemned sinners, to wash them clean. So Lord, wash me clean. Save me. Does he show us a clenched fist this morning? He opens his hands. And we look in their nail-pierced hands. And he invites us to come to him. And the final thing we're told in this letter to the Hebrews. The child born of Bethlehem is destined to rule over all. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Where is Jesus now? Is he in the grave? No, he's risen. Ascended. He's crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he's coming again. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus the Lord.